I Can't Replace You by Savvy Divine 666. Read by Cyanon. Chapter 1. 6 months was a blink in time for those who had lived for decades, centuries even. Heaven's onslaught was swift and brutal, but the denizens of Hell retaliated in kind, with the pure brute force of strength and incensed fury driving them as hellish creatures of all shapes and sizes came together to fight against the pure might of the exorcists. The city was on fire. Most of the buildings barely left standing. Cries of battle and the shrieks of the dying echoed across all of the Pride Ring. But it wouldn't last much longer. It couldn't. Something deep in Carmilla Carmine's body seemed to scream these words as she decapitated an exorcist, darting away to do the same again, and again, and again, and again. A cry, a literal, guttural scream of shock and pain echoed in her ears. She knew that voice. Somehow, she just knew. Carmilla turned and saw a flash of white hair. Clara! Carmilla looked around, ducking the blade of an angel before taking it down herself. She reached the rocky edge of an embankment and looked down, the sight of the two familiar figures, one kneeling, the other lying down, made her heart race and her stomach drop. The only reason one laid down in the middle of a war zone was if... No. Clara! Hearing her call, her surviving daughter Odette looked up with frightened, tearful eyes and disheveled, blood-soaked blonde hair.
Mom!
She started to get to her feet, instinctively wanted to head to the comfort and protection of her mother. Carmilla, though she'd barely processed the image of one of her daughters lying slain before her, started down the embankment, reaching out a large hand to her remaining daughter, ready to snatch her in her arms and do anything she had to protect her.
Odette, get down!
She was too late. An angel soared in and rammed their spear through Odette's side, making her lurch back from her sister and fall to the floor, bleeding profusely. Carmilla didn't even attempt to do anything to stop the angel as it flew away to find other sinners to kill. Instead, Carmilla raced towards her daughter. Before she could reach either of her daughters, however, an angel appeared, hovering between Carmilla and her girls. Driven by pure rage, grief, and fear for Odette's life, Carmilla's fingers glowed bright white as they transformed into long, blade-like talons as she ran, and the angel soared directly for her, wielding their spear for attack.
Carmilla!
To her surprise, someone appeared beside Carmilla, tucking one arm around her waist, holding her back from attacking the angel. She instantly recognized the other demon as Zestiel, who hissed like a thousand furious vipers. He raised his other arm, lifting his cloak like a shield around himself and Carmilla, and with his demonic abilities, used said cloak to deflect the weapon right back at the angel, skewering it through the neck, its main weak point, causing the angel to fall to the ground in a mangled, bloodied mess. Carmilla watched the angel fall to the ground before her eyes caught the crumpled body of Odette.
No!
Fiercely breaking free from Zestiel, Carmilla leapt over the angel's bleeding body to get to Odette. Her thick mane of hair having come loose amid the chaos, she scooped her up to cradle her dying daughter in her lap, quickly removing Odette's shattered glasses. She looked so young without them.
Odette, why? Why were you outside?
The blonde groaned in pain before coughing several times until blood trickled down the corner of her mouth.
Sorry, Mom. We just wanted to help.
Carmilla began to sob in despair.
Carino, Nena, you knew better. I should have known better. I never should have left you alone.
Odette curled closer to her mother, trying to look to her poor sister's body as she sang, faltering in her wounded state.
But when that thing attacked, I had to act.
Carmilla held her daughter close, glancing helplessly over at Clara with an aching heart, realizing that Odette had tried to come to the defense of her poor sibling. In that moment, Carmilla wanted nothing more than to hold both at once, as she did when they had been newly born, just a year apart from each other, back when they were alive. Carmilla returned her tearful gaze to her eldest.
There's something I've been dying to say. More than anything.
Odette's weakened voice joined with hers.
You need to know I love you more than anything. More than anything.
The mother and daughter's voices blended harmoniously in their final moments together, with the latter's own voice growing weaker as their existence faded.
I'm grateful you're my daughter. And in the end, you are part of who I am, more than anything.
Odette was interrupted after being overtaken by a series of coughs. Holding her tighter, Carmilla went on.
Said I'd do whatever it takes to keep you safe. I've made mistakes.
Odette lifted her bloodied hand, her vision blurring, her life fading as she rested her palm to her mother's cheek.
Forgive my mistake.
Carmilla held onto Odette's wrist to bring her hand to her chest, looking out with tear-filled eyes into the distance, unable to watch her daughter fade in her arms.
There's so much I wish that I could say. I'd give my life.
Tears fell freely from Carmilla's eyes, and with a final whimper of fear and pain, Odette fell limp in her mother's arms. Carmilla stared, lips parted, eyes wide in shock for a moment, tears welling in her eyes, trying to comprehend that she had lost both her girls, her precious daughters. A pained sound escaped her, and Carmilla hung her head.
No.
She didn't care that she, an overlord who prided herself on keeping tight control of her emotions and composure, was breaking down into grief-stricken sobs on the battlefield. Those around her were too busy fighting for their own lives to notice, nor care at all. Behind her, Zestiel's expression remained one of sympathy and understanding. As a close friend and confidant of their mother, he'd been around Odette and Clara for just as long as he'd known Carmilla.
My most sincerest condolences, Carmilla,
he started carefully. He glanced around, mindful of any threat that might get too close, and observing the violent destruction unfolding, screams, explosions, the sounds of war thundered around them. He placed a gentle hand on Carmilla's shoulder.
Mayhaps I suggest leaving with haste.
Carmilla turned, glaring with bloodshot eyes, shoulders heaving with each breath.
No, I will avenge my girls. I'm going to slaughter every angel I lay eyes on this day. Now go, Zestiel.
She ordered, her tone heavy with the threat of what she might do if he didn't. Still, Zestiel refused.
Thou art not in the right mind. Thy grief shall make thee reckless and prone to the angel's spears.
Carmilla jerked her head, returning her furious gaze out in front of her.
Good!
She all but screamed before adding, in a quieter, colder tone that sent chills even through Zestiel's veins.
Without my girls, what else do I have to live for?
Whether it was her tone, so defeated yet filled with an assurance that meant Zestiel believed that she truly meant what she said, he felt he had no other choice. He stooped down, putting both hands at the tops of Carmilla's arms.
I'm afraid I shall not be as allowing such folly. Offering thy life so freely shall not return thy kin.
She tensed and moved as though trying to shake him off.
I won't leave them here.
But Zestiel tightened his grip, even as she fought.
There is nothing thou can do for them now. Thy children would not wish for thou to fall to the angel's spears as well.
Carmilla still tried to shake him off.
Release me! No!
But Zestiel effortlessly lifted her into his thin but deceptively strong arms. Spotting three exorcists about to converge upon them, in a tangle of black shadows he teleported Carmilla and himself away, leaving the battle between heaven and hell to rage on. Chapter 2. Zestiel set Carmilla down, lingering a moment to ensure she was steady on her feet. He had brought them to Carmilla's office, above one of her warehouses. It had been the first place he'd thought of. The spider demon opened and closed his black cloak. The bright red and green-yellow lining flashed brightly for a split second as he flapped the material to rid it of the dirt and dust clinging to it. Suddenly, an explosion, followed by screams, could be heard in the distance, and Carmilla's heart clenched in her chest.
This is why I never wanted any of the others to know about the angels, that they had weaknesses. I never wanted to risk war with heaven. I never wanted any hand in putting my girls at risk. And now...
She walked to the window, which unfortunately held a perfect overview of the battlefield. It was only then, seeing her reflection in the glass, that she saw the blood splattered on her front, the golden-hued essence of the exorcist she'd slain. Then she saw it. On her face was the blood of her daughter Odette. Nausea and a fresh wave of grief hit her like a brick wall, and she put a large hand to the window as fresh tears rolled down her cheeks. Carmilla's hand slipped down the window pane before she let it fall to her side and took a step back, putting her hand to her head in despair.
I swore I would protect them. It's my fault we ended up down here in the first place. After that, I promised to keep them safe, even when they insisted on being part of the business. I thought by letting them, I could keep them close by. Taught them to defend themselves. I should never have allowed it. They were only there in the first place because they came to help.
She put her face in her hands in despair and shame.
I'm a failure of a mother. I failed my daughters in life and in our afterlives.
Zestiel, seeing her start to dig her nails into her scalp, decided to intervene, taking her wrist to keep her from harming herself. She looked at him in their reflections as he spoke.
Thou art no such thing. Thou hast done everything in thy power to do as thou promised, and thou hast loved thy daughters more deeply than even many Hellborns love their spawn. Thou wast willing to die out of devotion to your daughters. Is it so odd that thine children would do the same for you?
Zestiel reached out and, with an arm around her shoulders, guided Carmilla to a sofa located against the wall of the office. He snapped his fingers and the drapes pulled themselves closed. Carmilla sat with her elbow resting on the arm of the sofa, with her hand mostly concealing her face. However, she did notice Zestiel holding out a handkerchief to her. Taking it with a look of gratitude, she began to wipe her daughter's blood from her cheek. Though part of her almost wanted to leave it in some sort of morbid way of keeping them close. But she ignored that impulse and removed it. Meanwhile, Zestiel went to the partially filled bookshelf to the left of the sofa, taking one of the glasses and a bottle of strong whiskey she kept there from one of the mid-shelves. Carmilla looked up. Wiping her teary eyes, she noticed the glass of amber liquid he offered to her.
"For the pain,"
he stated evenly. She took the glass from him.
"You couldn't pass me the bottle,"
she mumbled. Zestiel tilted his head slightly.
"I surmise that even that would not be enough to quell thy sorrow, my friend, and only serve to cause thou to vomit and lose thy consciousness,"
he guessed. Carmilla averted her eyes. She could tell they looked sore and red.
"That sounds perfectly acceptable to me."
She quickly downed the whole glass, savoring the burn it left in the back of her throat. As an overlord, she had access to some of the best on the market. Putting the now empty glass on the side table to her left, between the bookshelf and sofa, she badly wanted another, but that would involve either getting up or asking Zestiel, both of which required too much effort than Carmilla currently had the strength for. Zestiel bowed in respect.
"Thou must desire solitude in thy grief. I shall take my leave and return with what swiftness the battle allows me."
He had taken just one step in the direction of the door before she shot to her feet, grasping the back of his cloak with uncharacteristic panic in her eyes.
"No."
She had leapt to her feet, and the word tumbled from her lips before she could stop or even think about what she was doing. It was only when Zestiel turned back to her in surprise that Carmilla registered her actions and quickly retracted her hand as though the fabric of his cloak had scalded her. Averting her eyes, she ducked her head slightly in embarrassment.
You're quite right. You should return. Our fellow overlords will need your unique abilities in the fight against the angels."
Zestiel, ever a creature of cool composure despite his fearsome reputation, regarded her calmly, gesturing with one hand as he spoke.
"Carmilla, thou must know thou may speak freely in mine presence. We are old friends. Dost thou not concur?"
She replied, but kept her head ducked.
Of course,
she confirmed without thinking. Even though they had maintained a deep, trusting friendship these past several centuries or so, and for the last few years something had been gradually shifting, yet neither of them had come close to addressing or even acknowledging it until now. She realized she had yet to answer, and Zestiel was watching her expectantly, but patiently. Carmilla considered her next words before adding,
I've already lost my daughters, despite my vow to protect them."
Her voice cracked with emotion. Just thinking about them, it pained her so much. With one hand, she took a necklace and pendant she wore around her neck from where she kept it hidden beneath the neck of her dress. Opening the pendant, she looked achingly at the photo inside. It was of herself, with Odette and Clara either side of her. The girls had saved for months to get it as a gift for her. It hurt to look at their beautiful, youthful faces so soon, knowing that this was all she had left of them. Yet she forced herself to go on, this time singing out to her daughters as though in the hope that they might hear her proclaiming her regret and guilt.
"You gave me your trust. Look how I've paid the price. Such bloodshed could have been avoided. I know I should have done better. Better, instead of letting you down."
She stepped forward under the watchful eyes of Zestiel. Closing the pendant, Carmilla turned to her old friend. He was all she had left in this life now.
"There's so much I wish that I could say. Don't know what we might face. I've made mistakes."
To her surprise, Zestiel's smooth voice joined her own as he bowed slightly to her.
"We all make mistakes. I shall keep thou safe and be thy armor."
Carmilla's black lips parted in hesitation, but she went on, still fearful that he would leave.
"But who's to say you'd survive the fray? I'll spend my life being your partner."
At first, she was afraid she'd overstepped, that his declaration of protection had been purely platonic, the offer of protection between friends. But something deep down told her this wasn't the case. The pair went on, voices joining effortlessly as they sang, the imminent threat of exorcists breaking away from the battlefield and hunting down anyone and everyone they could find ever present, and Carmilla's grief and deep-seated fear of losing the only person she cared for hung thickly in the air.
"Whatever it takes, whatever we go through, I know I'll be your lover." I'll be the... I know why. I'll be your lover. I'll be thy armor. Whatever we might face, whatever it takes.
There was a heavy pause as the final note lingered, but a loud, persistent siren shattered the moment. Carmilla jumped slightly, and Zestiel turned to the covered window, snapping his fingers. He had the drapes open in a split second. The remaining exorcists seemed to be fleeing, flying high into the air and entering the portal that would return to heaven. Distant cheers of victory and triumph could be heard from the survivors of hell as they watched the enemy flee in defeat. Heaven had been no match for the furious might of the damned and unholy denizens of the Pride Ring. Relief coursing through her veins, Carmilla was the first to speak, suddenly wary and uncertain of the declarations they had just made. Had it been in the heat of the moment, the fear and grief?
Zestiel?
But his hand moved deftly to cup her cheek. There was a great deal that would need to be said, things that would need to be clarified, questions to be asked and answered.
Thy grief is strong, and thou will need time. There is naught that shall replace the love thou hast for thy daughters, nor would I desire such. However, if thou wilt permit me, I shall remain at thy side, even only as a trusted friend, until thou is ready for more, he offered.
Carmilla nodded. After all, he'd become more of a family friend than strictly a friend of Carmilla's. He'd always been accepting of her daughters, and they had each looked up to the ancient overlord in their own ways, and although it could never measure to the weight of her own, she knew he silently grieved for them also.
Thank you, Zestiel. I will always adore my daughters.
Her voice cracked with emotion at the mention of Odette and Clara, but she persisted.
But you also hold a place in my heart. You have for a long time now.
His thumb traced her jaw lightly, and Zestiel replied,
as thee has in mine, dear Carmilla, thus I shall wait for however long thy needs for thine heart to heal. Till that day, I vow to be thine armor, and protect thy shattered heart until thou is ready.
Carmilla nodded once, grateful that, despite being one of the most feared overlords in all of hell, Zestiel would still be so understanding. He was also entirely correct. Nothing needed to be rushed. This may not be the first fight Heaven would declare, but they would need time to regroup and lick their proverbial wounds, so to speak. So there would be time. Time to mourn. To heal. And it would be a long and difficult road. But with Zestiel there to offer her a comforting presence, even if they only remain friends for now, Carmilla already felt sure that, given time, she would be ready to see where a deeper relationship between them might lead.